fighting for America.
It's going to be in Cleveland in 2016. The Republican National Committee has chosen Cleveland.
It's not the place you come to sleep, but I tell you what, how comfortable is that? Probably won't have any neck problems tomorrow.
Fighting for Idaho.
I kept thinking that you just need to change your slogan at the beginning of your show. Instead of if it's Sunday, it's Meet the Press, it should be if it's Sunday, it's another administration official making stuff up and Meet the Press.
Fighting for you.
People are sleeping while they drive. They're on their cell phone.
Right, but you see, you should have come out with this. Now we've got to go, and you're giving us the best stuff.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
I'm sorry.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Thank you all for joining us. 580 KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And the last time we had this gentleman on, I pretty much hogged him, so I'm not going to do that. We have questions. You have questions or comments for Ed Klein, author of Bloodsport. We will take those at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So, you know, this happens every 2 or 3 years, Ed Klein. You write a book. You find out things that no one else does. And whether it's the Obamas, the Clintons, Katie Couric, the Queen, Hillary Clinton, vice versa, everybody condemns you. And I think it was like last week on the Drudge Report, the Clintons were after you again. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you, Kevin?
I'm good. I'm just trying to keep up with your adventures. And I go, I know you're a veteran journalist. I know you're well-researched, but does it ever get old, the reaction you get from the political establishment?
Not really, because, you know, when they start throwing ugly words at you rather than at the facts in the book, which is what they're doing, I just shrug. Blood feud, the Clintons versus the Obamas, has not been challenged on a single fact. It's only Ed Klein this, Ed Klein that. It's the usual liberal establishment going after the messenger rather than the message.
And speaking of the message, and there are many issues that we want to talk about, but I have to go back to the last conversation we had that has been picked up by a lot of folks that are talking about your book, that Bill Clinton's dying wish is even to use his funeral to propel Hillary to the presidency.
Yeah, they had that conversation, as you recall, and I write about it in the book, A Blood Feud, which is that Bill, coming from his doctor, who just told him that his heart disease was progressive and getting worse, was thinking about his mortality and was discussing this with Hillary and some of her friends, and said, you know, if I should die, here's what I want you to do. First of all, I want to be buried in Arlington National Cemetery. Now, here's a draft dodger who wants to be buried in Arlington. Because I was president, that meant I was commander-in-chief, and so I'm entitled. And then I want you to have a big state funeral. I want you to put on your widow weeds, dress in black. There's going to be a huge outpouring of sympathy for you, and that's great, because if I die, that's worth a couple of million votes.
Who does that besides Bill Clinton?
I don't think anybody does it. I mean, you know, the rest of us think, you know, we die, and, you know, that's it. And some of us think we're going to go to heaven. Some of us think maybe we're not going to go to heaven. But none of us, I think in terms of it being worth a couple of million votes, other than Bill Clinton, of course.
Who's the most fascinating character? I think I already know the answer to this, between the four that you feature in this book.
Well, I feature, as you know, Bill and Hillary and Michelle and Barack. And it's hands down Bill Clinton, of course. He's a rogue. He's still living the good life. He's tooling around Hollywood in convertibles with a little fedora hat on and Scarlett Johansson in the seat next to him. He's flying around the world in a $65 million twin-engine jet that flies at speed of Mach 1. And he lives in two huge mansions, one in Chappaqua. He lives in three places, Chappaqua, Washington, D.C., and then he's got his penthouse apartment on the fifth floor of the William Jefferson Clinton Library, where he throws some pretty nice parties, as you can imagine.
I can imagine that you're not there, but it's called Bill's Palace. And again, everybody in the news and the talk media talking about Bill's penthouse palace that, for most of us, no one knew until we picked up your book, Blood Feud.
And that's amazing, isn't it, when you stop to think about it. Why hasn't the national press covered Bill Clinton and Little Rock? And for that matter, why hasn't the Little Rock media covered Bill Clinton? And I'm the first journalist who's written a book in which there's a whole chapter about his life in Little Rock, which no one knew about until now.
Amazing. So are you, and let's go back to the amateur. Let's go back to your books on the Clintons and Hillary. Again, the truth about Hillary. And this book right now, are you surprised at how the president is not handling the border situation?
No, because I'm not surprised. I'm dismayed. I'm upset. I'm enraged, actually, that this country is being overrun by these poor kids who are, you know, being transported hundreds and hundreds of miles from their homes and are pouring into our country where we're going to have to take care of them. But I'm not at all surprised that this president has not done what needs to be done, which is to seal that darn border. And it can be done. The Israelis have sealed the West Bank, where the Palestinians live, from Israel, and terrorism has plummeted to virtually nothing in terms of terrorism in Israel as a result. And we can do it too, but we have a president that just simply does not have the ability, the willpower, and the smarts to get it done.
Ed Klein joining us, Kevin Miller here at 580KIDO. His book, Blood Feud, blowing it up on the bestseller list. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. Let's get back to you've provoked a lot of conversations here and around the country. I was talking to Dave Burnett about this. Is it really possible for someone, a female or a male, to be both a best friend of a wife and a husband, as Valerie Jarrett is? I think you got to favor one over the other.
Well, I think she's closer to Michelle than she is. Valerie Jarrett is closer to Michelle than she is to Barack, because she spends a lot of time alone with Michelle. At night, Valerie Jarrett, who has got this cockamamie title of the outreach person in charge of outreach, whatever the heck that means, she disappears into the elevator and goes upstairs to the residence, and she's nicknamed the Night Stalker by people in the White House, because she, as I say, disappears at night and has dinner with the president and the first lady and their daughters and grandma sometimes, who's also living in the White House. Valerie, by the way, lives in the White House. She has a permanent residence there. She has a staff of 40 people. She has Secret Service detail. She spends the evenings sharing a bottle of Chardonnay with Michelle and gossiping about everybody in the White House and helping foreign policy. And she and Michelle came up with a great nickname for Hillary Clinton, which indicates exactly what they think about Hillary. They call her Hilda Beast.
And amazing.
It is amazing.
Now let's go back to page 33 in your book, Blood Feud. I keep wanting to call it Blood Sport, but Blood Feud, the Clintons versus the Obamas. Ed Klein with us here. And the idea of reneging on a promise, and it goes back to Valerie Jarrett. Never mind that Clinton helped Obama get reelected. My words, not yours, Ed Klein, but we go to your words. Jarrett reminded Obama that it didn't matter what he promised Clinton in return for the former president's cooperation in the coming campaign. You are the president. You make the rules, she said. Now, you're in some hot water with the Clintons because you believe that the Obamas have found a candidate and it's not Hillary Clinton.
Well, I do. It's not, you know, me that's in the hot water. It's the Clintons that are in hot water because the Obamas have President Obama has authorized Valerie Jarrett to have secret meetings with the far left wing senator from Massachusetts, Elizabeth Warren, who is kind of his mini-me, his clone, very, very similar in their, you know, left-wing fringe ideology. And Valerie Jarrett has urged Elizabeth Warren to throw her hat into the ring and has offered her the full cooperation of the president, both financially, if she does so, and organizationally. I don't think Elizabeth Warren has decided what to do yet, and she may finally say no, but that's what they're doing right now, and that's exactly what Bill Clinton was afraid that Obama was going to do and feared and predicted he was going to do.
And you've outed them, and the Clintons come back on you.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. Well, the Clintons are surrounded by these hitmen, a guy named Philippe Reynis, who has been Hillary Clinton's hitman. He's slimed CNN when reporters. He's slimed the New York Times reporters. He's slimed Rolling Stone reporters. I guess I'm in good company when it comes to this character who's, notorious in Washington for saying awful things about reporters.
Yeah, but Ed Klein, here's the skinny on you. If any of your facts were not correct, they would have you hauled away in court. They would be all over you.
Exactly. And not one single fact has been called into question in Blood Feud. So it's all attacks on me personally, but that nobody said, this isn't true, that's not true. And I don't think they're ever going to.
And let's get back to another situation that you broke that has not been disputed, and that's the health of Hillary Clinton. Is it possible that she'll improve? I mean, you take a look at Bill Clinton, and I don't know if you saw the piece with David Gregory. He schooled him, and even in his own still diminished state, Clinton still has it. What about Hillary and her health?
Well, Hillary's health is not what she says it is. She says she's in the pink of health, which she's not. Her doctor has said that she has a heart valve problem, which, by the way, the Clintons have not denied, if you notice in all these attacks on me.
Right.
And they considered doing heart valve replacement surgery, which is major, major surgery. You go under anesthesia and, you're on a heart-lung machine for hours. So this is serious. She has to be monitored carefully. I'm not a doctor. I'm not predicting that she's disqualified from the presidency because of this. But I am saying that, we should be seeing her medical records if she's running for president.
Ed Klein, on a totally unrelated note, one of your better books that didn't get a lot of attention that I thought it did, and that's how you and I bonded, the Katie Couric situation.
Right.
You revealed some fascinating things. I have your books all over the place. My favorite Ed Klein book. Are you surprised by Katie Couric that she never really found success after the Today Show?
I've got some mixed feelings about Katie. I was in a restaurant the other day, like maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and sitting on an outdoor table with a companion, and Katie Couric and her then boyfriend, who she's since married, came into the restaurant, and she looked at me, and I looked at her. She went inside the restaurant, and I said to my companion, I've written a book about Katie Couric, and it wasn't all very positive. And then suddenly, out of the restaurant comes Katie Couric up to my table. And she puts her hand on my shoulder, her face leans toward my face, and she said, "Did you write that sleazy book about me just for money?" And I said, "No, Katie, I didn't write it just for money. I wrote it because you were the first woman full-time anchor on a major broadcast network, and it didn't work. And why didn't it work?" Anyway, she went back into the restaurant. I wasn't surprised. I think she's a very talented woman in a certain area, and that is she's a perky, good interviewer. She was terrific on the Today Show. She's been totally miscast ever since. And, it's not surprising that CBS News ratings, evening news ratings, went down when she was there, and then they've come back up with Scott Pelley.
Well, and the fact that she tried a talk show, it didn't work. Now
That's
she's
right.
at Yahoo. Again, America's Sweetheart, and I urge people to go get that book that you wrote.
You can be America's Sweetheart just for so long,
right?
And you get into your certain age, you're no longer Sweet 16, if you know what I mean.
All too well, Ed Klein. More coming up with our friend Ed Klein here at 580 KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436. Don't let me have all the fun. Ed Klein is a great guest. We love having him on. Blood Feud is his book. The Clintons versus the Obamas, The Inside Skinny. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Bill Clinton would die trying to get back into the White House. He said to Hillary, my death is going to be the equivalent of 2 million votes for you for president.
Must hear radio every morning.
Thank God it's
Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Thank God.
You know, congratulations to Nate and Caldwell for winning those tickets to the Motorfest. Just ran into Nate in the hallway. He's pumped up to check out the cars this weekend, so appreciate you all listening. Let's get back to Ed Klein, author of Bloodsport, as we continue on. Ed, what do you think the next 2 years is going to bring in this ever-expanding drama between the Clintons and the Obamas?
Well, I think there's rift or this animosity that we see now is just going to get worse and worse and worse, and that there's going to be little or no communication between these two major families who represent the two wings of the Democratic Party. And as their animosity deepens, I think we're going to see a greater and greater split in the Democratic Party as well.
How about on page 76 here, and it's not a quiz, when you talk about the idea that the president really did float the idea of Hillary Clinton replacing Biden. Bill Daley was floating that idea. Bill Clinton approaches the president on the golf course. The president thought Valerie Jarrett would keep it a secret. Is this any way to run a reelection campaign?
Well, you know, when I reported this business about the Obamas approaching Hillary to become the vice presidential running mate of Obama in 2012, everybody denied it. The White House denied it. The Clintons denied it. Once again, Ed Klein's making all this up. A year later, one whole year later, Heilemann and Halperin write a book called Game Change, Double Down, and they confirm every word that I had in my book. And the mainstream media says, hey, yeah, this is obviously true if they write it. It's, you know, it's a sad comment on our media today that they're so partisan that they are motivated by their ideology rather than by, you know, the facts and by what is true. They don't care what's true. They care, you know, whether it fits into their preconceived notions.
We go to the phones, and we go to Liberal Steve for Ed Klein here at 580 KIDO.
Hey, buenos dias. Welcome to the border.
Thank you.
I got a question for you, Mr. Klein. As far as Hillary's health, how can that even be close to a comparison against the king of running the White House, Dick Cheney's health? He was wired from head to toe. If anything would have happened to Mr. Bush and he was to take over as president of the United States.
Well, Dick Cheney had terrible health. You're absolutely correct. And nobody denied it. He didn't deny it. It was an open issue, well reported. The trouble is, in Hillary's case, she's running for president and hiding the truth. And that's the difference.
And the next question is...
Actually, no follow-ups. I have to keep him on a tight leash. Ed Klein with us once again here at 580KIDO. Blood Feud, his sport, the Clintons versus the Obamas. You know, you have that crazy uncle sometimes, and I don't know if any of these folks have that. That's really what Liberal Steve is, Ed. He's kind of our crazy uncle.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about post-presidency. Can Michelle and Barack ever really equal, or do they want to equal, what Bill and Hillary have done post-presidency?
I think Barack certainly does. I think he is going to be a young man when he leaves the White House, 54, 55 years old. I mean, he's going to have presumably many years of good health and vigorous opportunities. And he looks at what Bill Clinton built, the Clinton Foundation, the Clinton Global Initiative, this huge popularity that he's made this comeback from Monica Lewinsky and that scandal. And I think Barack Obama is looking at Bill Clinton's pattern as something that he himself would like to emulate. The difference, of course, is that he thinks, as so many former presidents do, that they can continue to run the Democratic Party. And that generally doesn't happen because new blood comes along and, you know, replaces them. But I do think he will form a huge foundation and write books and make speeches and make a lot of money.
Yeah, but a lot of that was attributed to Clinton himself. Does really Barack have the same passion, inner spirit that Clinton does?
He likes to make speeches, let's face that. I mean, that's the truth. And he sometimes gives good speeches. He likes to be in front of crowds. He likes to be the object of adulation. Whether your point is, however, does he have the follow-through? Can he really implement anything? And I think your point is the one that you're implying is correct, that this is not a guy who knows how to implement things and get things done.
Finally, Ed Klein, what are you up to? Anything good? Staying out of trouble?
I'm always up to something good and something bad, too, at the same time. You know, you have to have a little fun in life. And I must say that being number one as the number one New York Times bestseller has been fun. Today's New York Times has a piece on the front page of their business section about how I knocked Hillary off, which I, of course, enjoy. Oh. And that's a lot of fun.
Well, we will link to that, and I know you've got to go. Always appreciate it, Ed. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Kevin. Great to be with you.
Take care. There you have it. Ed Klein, he is very quick with the hang-up for those of you keeping track at home. Maybe you're not. All right, you're listening to Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kay Miller here, 580KIDO. Hope you're having a great Friday. By the way, remember, tomorrow, 5 to 8, we're going to have Tea Party Bob, Patriot Ray, maybe Daryl and Sheila, maybe Jim from Star, maybe you. Well, no, you got RSVP, so we'll see what happens. Live local talk about the issues that impact you as we wait to figure out border funding from Rachel Sutherland from Fox News Radio. I posted something on my Facebook, and I talked to Dave Burnett about this earlier. And it's interesting because I'm getting a lot of people. I think we've all become afraid sometimes in life to have an opinion. I've gotten a bunch of likes on this, but I haven't really gotten the answer I was looking for. When it comes to the border situation, are you more inclined to agree with someone like Glenn Beck, who is on our station, who's incredibly successful, redefining radio and media even as we speak, who is sending teddy bears, sending toys, diapers to the border, and you have people ripping him for it? Now, I don't believe that Glenn Beck is endorsing the open borders policy, but he's showing compassion. Glenn Beck was right about the caliphate. Cost him his job at Fox. It's a story of, yeah, you're right, but it cost him his job. He's doing better than he was. And then you have a gentleman who has always been very good to me, and we've had him on, and maybe we should make a run at Glenn someday. We've had Glenn on before during our tenure here, and that's Sean. You know, Sean Hannity, who in fact is at the border with the Border Patrol with Rick Perry, posing and driving up and down the Rio Grande, if you will. So on my Facebook, and that's the Kevin Miller with the like grayish goatee and me looking like Captain America, I ask, which one are you? Are you Glenn Beck? When it comes to the border situation, you want to help the kids? Like the Catholic Church? I'm Catholic. Love my faith. Love my God. Not really down with their policy on the illegals. I'll tell you that right now. Or are you like Sean Hannity, that we need to secure the borders? I think both of them agree. It's just interesting ways of handling it. And this is funny. Liberal Steve, you only get one call a day, number one, so please don't text me and email me. Ray set the rules, and it's one call a day. So, you know, get on. I mean, we've got liberal Steve running wild here. But I'd like you to answer that question. Are you with Sean or are you with Glenn? And it's funny, people say, well, I'm with both, or I'm with this, that, or the other. Heidi Harris saying, I can't afford to be either. Oh, come on, Heidi. I think it's just a very simple question. And maybe it just shows you the dynamic that's changing. By the way, thank you, Ed Klein, for joining us. Some interesting things in this book that I didn't know about, that apparently Bill Clinton, there was some type of physical altercation between the president and Hillary Clinton that's detailed in Blood Feud, number one on the New York Times best-selling list. Again, we're working hard to get you the best guests, the best content. We got the author of the number one book on the New York Times best-selling list, Ed Klein. But here's something that even the non-politicals alike. In one section of the book, former President Bill Clinton demands his wife get a facelift. When she refuses, he gets one instead. Now, we'll get back to that in a minute. Apparently, there was a physical altercation between Mrs. Clinton and President Obama. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But how many people would have enough guts to tell their spouse or their husbands or their wives, honey, you need to get some work done. Honey, you need a facelift. And then when they don't, all of a sudden what happens? You get one and said, I don't know how many men would have enough guts to say that to their wives or have the metrosexualism in them to sit back and do it themselves. How many guys do you know in Idaho or anywhere that get facelifts? To Walt in Nampa at 580KIDO with Kay Millie. Hello, Walt.
Good morning. You sound like you're having a good time.
I'm dreaming of a extra large triple topping Papa John's pizza.
Whoops. Anyway, I like your guy you just said on, what the hell was his name?
Ed Klein.
Ed Klein, yes. I'm sure he appreciates me for getting his name. On this business of the kids on the border, giving them toys and lollipops and teddy bears and all that fine and dandy while you're taking them on the way to the C-5As to ship them back to going to wherever they came from.
Right.
Bring them across. What's your name? What country are you from? Here, get on the airplane, and tomorrow morning they're back in wherever they came from. Do that a few days, and it'll stop the problem, because once they realize, they start talking to each other down there that you're not getting in, they're shipping you right back home, it'll stop. It'll save a hell of a lot of lives. Because I think one program they had on there on television the other night, 565, I think, was bodies they found out in the desert last year. How many more are they going to find this year?
Well, look, the desert is a problem that we avoid. We don't deal with it. I think Sean's doing a great job going down there.
Yeah, okay.
So are you with Sean or are you with Glenn?
I'm with neither.
Oh, come on.
No, because I don't really like Glenn Beck, and I don't really like Sean Hannity.
Do you like me?
Do what?
Do you like me?
Yes.
Oh, right.
Due to the fact I haven't really heard you that much.
What? You have to go now. I got to go.
Seriously?
Yes.
No, there's another one on television.
Oh, my gosh. Enough of you on television. You should have gotten it right. You got to pander to the host, Walt. Come on. 580-5436. Here's another thing that I kind of have thought about. Germany versus Argentina. I know what you're saying. Kevin, you're a flip-flopper. You're going with soccer. No, but it's like the Battle of the Popes. And so, again, on the Kevin Miller Facebook, I put, which pope are you? Are you down with the Germans, Benedict, or the Argentinian, Francis? It's gotten to a point now where the Vatican, instead of worrying about, I don't know, whatever the Vatican worries about, that they're dismissing talk between the popes. What do you make of that one? The Vatican dismissing talk of the World Cup rivalry between, I'm with Benedict on both cases. Let's go to Peggy in Boise at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller. Hey, Peggy.
Hi. My comment is that I'm siding more with Sean, not that I always like his tactics, but because if you have worked with young children who have been abandoned, either by, you know, children in the foster system who their parents get involved in drugs, and then these children have to deal with abandonment issues the rest of their life. Now, we have had a rash of shootings in high schools because children who get to be 16 and 17 don't know how to deal with their emotions, and so they take it out on everyone. Don't you think that these children grow up, even if we scatter them all over the United States, they're going to have issues. They're going to be told all their lives, you are entitled. This you deserve. This, you know, you, this should happen for you. And yet, when it comes down to it, they'll get nothing. And they'll probably get a very poor education, starting off with not being able to speak the language. So we are just sitting on a bigger atomic bomb when we bring in these children and scatter them all over the United States. You, even a good foster home cannot replace the true, natural, loving parent. This is my worry.
Peggy, thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
Bye. All right, we appreciate it. 580-KIDO, Kevin Miller with you. We go to our soccer expert. Actually, we have two of them. We have Greg Pruitt and we have Phil Hardy, but Phil Hardy was on my mind. So we've got the battle of the Popes. We've got the battle of the Germans versus the Argentinians. Who are you going to go with?
I'm going with Germany.
Good call. Nobody beats the Germans.
You know, they're looking very formidable. As always, they are very organized, and they do not know fear.
Is that your German?
I think I might have slipped into my little German routine there, yes.
I gotta say this about the Germans and the World Cup though, that you know just that shocking win. What was it, 7-1 over Brazil?
Yeah, you know, and the thing about them is now, you know, if anyone watched the other semifinal between Netherlands and Argentina, those were two teams that were more afraid to lose than they were looking forward to winning, and that's the one thing that I think is going to separate the Germans from Argentina. I think Argentina are going to be too afraid to lose, so they're going to be very conservative, while the Germans are just going to roll right through them.
And then after this,
niemand ahnte damals, dass Amerika einige Jahre später Einsteins neue Heimat werden würde.
No more soccer for 4 more years, there, buddy.
That's not true, because the Copa America is being played in the United States in 2016. That is the international tournament that the South Americans usually play amongst themselves. They're playing it in the U.S. in 2016, and the United States will take part. So it's going to be like a mini World Cup for all of us soccer fans.
Hopefully it'll be in Denver where it snows. Now, finally, I have to take you to task here, Phil Hardy.
Oh, I see.
So you're sitting there on Facebook. You said the Germans are going through the Brazilians like they did Poland in 39.
Yeah, that was a little not politically correct, was it?
Man, and then you had people saying Germany's undefeated except 1918 and 1945. See, I love those historical funnies, if you will, but I'm wondering if we live in too much of a politically correct world that you can't get away with those things anymore.
Well, you know, actually, when I lived in England in 1996, there was a tournament in England, and the newspapers all had these horrific front page headlines, like, let's blitz Fritz and things like that. And the Germans were like, can you please just stop mentioning the war? And I think that's probably when the English stopped mentioning the war. It's sort of like a national pastime.
Phil Hardy, we know what you're going to be doing this weekend. We appreciate it, brother.
Thanks, Kevin. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, our great friend Phil Hardy. Kevin Miller, let's get you to traffic here.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
You know, it's funny. I'm sitting here looking at one time was the Kevin Miller Facebook, but Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, has taken over. Tea Party Bob has taken it over. And it's bad enough that Dan Popke gives us the smack reviews of my interviews. Now we have Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, smacking my interview with former Canyon County prosecutor, now candidate for governor, John Bujak. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. I'm trying to think of where he is. See if Kevin can ask. Oh, yes. Let's see. Kevin can include in his next interview how Bujak is allegedly faster than a speeding bullet, stronger than a locomotive, and how he can leap tall buildings with a single bound. His only problem, or rather his kryptonite, if you will, is his ability to muster any attention from the GOP to get a nomination to run for office, including dog catcher. Wow. Alan L. Morton, now talk show critic. to Pro-Life at 580KIDO. Hello, Pro-Life.
Hello there. Hey, I think what you were asking, are you with Glenn Beck or Sean Hannity?
Finally, somebody on the topic.
Yeah, well, I'm going to stay on topic. Well, I'm for what Sean Hannity wants to do. They have to close the border immediately.
Well, what do you make of Glenn Beck's little vibe there?
Well, taking teddy bears and soccer balls, that's just grandstanding. That's kind of stupid. He can send some aid if he wants, but he has to just get – if I was him, I'd go right down on the border and say we're going to close it.
Who?
Glenn Beck.
With his teddy bears.
Yeah, he needs to take his teddy bears and throw them over into Mexico. Maybe they'd chase him over there. They'd run back across the border to get a teddy bear. But here's what I think should happen. Our secret guys, you know, they should take some of those immigrants, take them down to Peña Nieto's residence and drop them off, about 10 of them right in front of his door, the president of Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, take about 10 or 20 of them and just put them right on their doorstep every week. And I think maybe, you know, if they could determine to get them the right nationality. But, you know, there's not any spine in any of the politicians. So the talk show hosts, they got to have some, or Glenn Beck's not doing it.
All right. Pro-Life, thank you for the call. Quickly to traffic at 8:59, Kevin Miller in the morning. Don't forget, coming up next, Glenn Beck, Dave Ramsey, Sean Hannity this afternoon, Brian Wiley after that tomorrow morning, 5 to 8. Oh, the gang will be here. Time to wake up, start the day with Patriot Ray, Tea Party Bob, Daryl, Sheila, and oh yeah, Kevin Miller. Do you want to thank John Bujak for joining us, Dan Gaynor for joining us, Ed Clyde for joining us, but more importantly, you, throughout your continued support, your listening to us, even as we work hard to get better, you're the reason we're here, literally. Good day, God bless, keep the faith. Serving.